8:26 now. Quinn Hillier with QuinnHillier.com and the Advocate, of course. And Quinn, they're having the press conference downtown Mobile this morning as we speak, as far as Amtrak and the start date and all that.
I think it's fantastic that there's going to be Amtrak service between Mobile and New Orleans. I hope to be on the very, very first train. I might even try to be in the first train in both directions, although I'm not sure exactly how that works.
You move.
Yeah, but look, this is a good thing. I think the first date is something like August 18th. I'm sure they're saying that right now. But it's just a good thing for the whole Gulf Coast to have a way for people to get back and forth without having to clog up the roads and, you know, deal with the bad drivers on the interstate, et cetera, et cetera. This is going to be good for commerce, for human commerce all through the Gulf South, and it's great.
Do you have your conductor's cap and hole punch ready for your first trip?
No, that I don't have.
Quinn, Dalton's involved with a forum tomorrow, mayoral forum. We'll talk more about that coming up, but how's this mayor's race shaping up as you see it right now?
Well, I was disappointed to see Burrell and Batiste drop out and endorse Barbara Drummond, not as a commentary on Barbara Drummond, but because it looks like a racial move. When you've got three black candidates and three white candidates, or, you know, maybe there are a couple more I'm missing. I think it's three and three. Then you're voting on the candidate's individual attributes, okay? But if two of the other black candidates drop out and endorse the third black candidate, that's saying let's consolidate the vote around race. And that, I think, is not good for the city. Again, it could be that Barbara Drummond is the best candidate. That's for people to decide. But it just looked like it just didn't look right.
Well, I think he said as much.
Batiste did.
Yeah, he said as much.
And Drummond kind of played it down after Batiste said that during the
Batiste
endorsement.
What did Batiste say exactly?
Let me find the quote. But he basically said said it out loud.
Yeah,
like,
he said the thing you don't say out loud.
Uniting behind a black candidate.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why, look, he was a pretty good police chief. He almost more than anybody had an opportunity to get some biracial support. Why did he have to do this and make this a racial issue? It shouldn't be a racial issue.
Well, I could, and it's kind of, you know, saying the quiet part out loud, but I'm sure the black candidates would say, look, there is a racial component to these votes, and it breaks down white and black very often. And I'm not sure. I think the people upset about it are probably the people that wouldn't vote for Drummond anyway, would be my guess.
Well, no. Except that Mobile has had five straight elections where the member of the minority race, meaning the race with the minority of the population, won. When Sam Jones won twice in a row, both times Mobile was still a majority white city.
Mm-hmm.
By the time Sandy Stimson won, it was a majority black city.
And he won anyway.
And he won three straight times. So Mobile has a good thing going where the racial majority didn't necessarily win because it was about who the voters wanted apart from race. We don't need to insert race back into it again.
Quinn Hillier, QuinnHillier.com, and The Advocate, and
NOLA.com.
NOLA.com. Thanks for your time, Quinn. It's 8:30 on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings at 8:34. We'll get some more details on what they got going on with the Amtrak announcements this morning. That happened at 8 o'clock at Government Plaza. They've got four more press conferences they will hold along the way in Mississippi and in New Orleans.
I want to see
four or five.
I want to see fireworks from the Amtrak. It's Independence Day. They're making this big announcement. Just shoot them straight from the train. That'd be pretty cool.
Hey, and by the way, yeah, we do have that list of things going on this weekend. We'll get around to that.
Yeah, we will. But my good buddy Dylan Waller from Waller K9 joins us today. And Dylan, good morning, man. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on again. Glad to be here.
So I wanted to bring you in. It's summer. I don't know if you've noticed. We started July, and we've seen some hot temperatures. It's been hotter, but that heat index is way on up there. We have fireworks coming this weekend, I'm sure. I know some folks around me have already begun shooting them off. So it's a precarious time to be a dog out there right now with the heat. And you've seen, I'm sure, you know so much about these lovely little animals that so many of us keep in our homes. Talk a little bit about the dangers there are out there. I don't even think it takes the heat we see in Alabama, but once we get up there into the low 90s, upper 80s, and that heat index is climbing, that can be a dangerous time for a dog if it's kind of left unattended or someone's really not paying much attention to it.
Yeah. And so we're kind of in the dog days of summer here. It's either raining a lot or, you know, the sun's out. And so those are two things you got to worry about. The humidity gets up and the sun gets out there at the same time. And it can get really hot really quick. What we kind of do is, there's just a hot portion of the day from 12 to 3 or whatever the case is. And so we make sure dogs are either up in AC or under fans so that they have enough water and they got some airflow going. And we just don't overdo it. And active dogs are going to acclimate a little bit better, obviously. So, you know, the elder dogs or any dog, you just got to keep in mind that it is a real deal. And so we need to make sure that they got everything they need, especially in the middle of the day here.
I know we're going to talk about puppies here coming up, Dalton, but you've got an older dog, too.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who have, like Dalton, who have a dog who's aging, you know, what are your concerns summer, just almost any time, but especially in the summer, if you have a dog that is up there, maybe in the teens, what do you have to pay attention to that maybe you didn't have to when the dog was younger?
That's a good, I guess there's a few, you know, health related things to be concerned about, but I guess in general, just keeping the activity up, making sure the dog is, you know, on a diet if they need to be or whatever the case, and just managing weight and activity. You know, if you can get those kind of two fundamental things squared away, then the dog will age just fine.
Huh.
What we kind of get into, though, is if, you know, the dog's out of shape and being overfed and then the heat gets here.
Yep.
By the time all that plays out, it's a little too late, if you will, if the conditions get extreme or whatever the case is. But I don't think, you know, they're built for it if you acclimate them properly. But if you got a dog that doesn't get too much activity and then for whatever reason spends more time outside this time of year than they typically would, then, you know, you might have some cause for concern there.
Yeah.
But
and that weight thing can really sneak up on you as a pet owner. So Dylan trained my coonhound Chase, and he watches him fairly often now. No weight issue with him. He's a bag of hammers.
Yeah,
he's
like
the bones.
He's like in the dog slam dunk contest. I mean,
but
you have to worry about him.
But the little pork chop I have, or he was at one time, Murphy, my Boston Terrier, who's the one you're talking about, a little elderly. He's been going through some health issues. When we got our first kid, they say parents gain a little weight because they're eating a little more off the plates of their children. Same thing for the dogs. And it doesn't take much for a little dog because he put on 4 pounds and
wow.
All of a sudden he looked like that old wrestler Rikishi. I don't know if you remember him. he was a big old boy for a Boston Terrier, and I think he was like 28 pounds. But that can kind of sneak up on you, and that does affect them in the heat and keeps them less active for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. So you can feed them whatever you want as long as you're running them and they're playing real hard. If they're having some easy days and stuff, it's just easy to keep the ration the same and not worry about anything until you're right. You're kind of like looking at the love handles of the dog and thinking, what have they been eating lately? But so just keep in mind, you know, weight does play a factor, you know, in dogs and on their hips and joints too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about the heat, but for the heat's sake, we just make sure that, you know, dogs have plenty of water, some airflow, and try to get them under a fan or a shade, you know, have a nice shaded area. If people have dogs out, whether it's the backyard or the front yard or the screen porch or whatever the case is, just to make sure they got those three things and they can get out of out of the rain or out of the heat as needed.
We put him on Ozempup, by the way, so he's fine now. We put him on that Ozempup medicine and he's lost that weight. Talking with Dylan Waller, he runs and owns Waller K9 and Theodore. Great outfit you got going out there, Dylan. Talk a little bit about fireworks too. And one of the things I like best about talking with you, talking through problems I may be having with my pets, is that you have an ability to kind of see through a dog's eyes, if I can say that. You kind of know what they're seeing and feeling and thinking. So when fireworks start popping off and, you know, people get frustrated with their dogs, shut up, quit crying, blah, 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 blah. What are dogs, especially the ones who are frightened by fireworks and stuff like that, what's that like for them?
Yeah, well, I think I'm going to kind of backtrack a little bit, and it's from the parents' perspective. I think fireworks is something as a community, for a dog community, that we all kind of need to lean into a little bit. We know it's a trying time out there for the dogs and the pet parents, but if anything, we can kind of set them up a little bit more for success, if you will.
Okay.
A lot of times out here, or if I know that this is going to happen, then if the dog's inside or whatever the case is, and I'm going to make sure the TV or the radio's on to try to drown out some of this background noise and some of the spooky behavior that people might see. But if you can kind of get proactive and understand that it's coming and have the radio on or the TV on, or just put the dog on the leash and let the dog spend time with you, I think most of it is an unknown for the dog, and they want to relieve that stress somehow. So a lot of times, you know, if that takes hopping over a fence or climbing under a bed, they're going to do it. But I think if we kind of get on board with this is, you know, and I kind of scroll Facebook, and at this time of year, it's this dog's missing, or can you be on the lookout for that dog? And so I think if we were a little more proactive maybe there, then we could lean into the pain maybe. Mm-hmm.
Well, that does spook dogs. And I had a friend years ago, maybe 8 years ago, he lost his service dog. He was a vet. And he lost his service dog on the 4th of July, maybe around Magnolia Springs. And it was just rat-a-tat-tat. And they were out on the dock, and suddenly fireworks went. He lost his dog, period. That dog, he never found him again that I know of. It's heartbreaking, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, that's a real buzzkill there. So, I mean, I would say as far as being proactive, don't be afraid to, you know, get your dog on a leash, obviously on a collar or harness that they're not able to slip, and immerse us in some of this stuff. I mean, it happens year after year, and it's a few times a year, and it's sad for me to see, you know, when I see the stories or hear something like that. But one of the coolest experiences I've had is just having my dog right next to me, downtown and watching fireworks.
That's
cool.
People
are like, hey, man, you know, are you going to put the dog away? And he's like, no, he likes to watch this.
Yeah,
stuff.
He's okay with it.
Yeah, yeah. Your dog could be like that too if you get Dylan on the line. We'll talk about some of the services he offers here in a minute. But I love that. Lean in. I don't know if I hear many pet trainers say that. Lean into the fireworks thing, because there's a conditioning aspect to it. And you know that well from training hunting dogs and hunting with dogs. If you get them started early hearing those loud bangs, it's really nothing to them, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of times that, you know, it's going to be uneasy for a dog. But if you're there to not necessarily coddle them, but to say, hey, everything's cool, you're on a leash. And don't get me wrong, you know, a dog might try to spook or might try to be uneasy about the situation. But if they don't get to resolve it by, you know, going to a dark place or going under the house or just hopping the fence and having a bunch of freedom and continuing that thought pattern, we can get it stopped. And typically, if the dog has, you know, a secure handler or at least some acknowledgement or whatnot, we can get through that.
Dylan Waller, WallerK-9.com is where you'll find him. And let's talk about some of the services you do offer. And I see Dylan multiple times a year bringing that Chase Monster Face, I think you were calling him for a while there, bringing him by. And he loves it. He's always so dang worn out that we don't have to worry about him for the next week once he gets back from Dylan's.
So he likes going there.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, it's vacation for him, truly. Yeah. He gets to spend some good time with other dogs, and he's so worn out when we get him back. But we started Chase with you training him. That's how we came to know each other. And you, Waller has grown since then. That was several years ago. Yep. You have plenty of space now for dogs, and you're doing a lot of training. And one thing that you're really excited about and that I'm excited about, too, is this Camp Pup that you have going on. Talk a little bit about what that provides.
Yeah, so it's a beautiful thing for dogs under 6 months of age, and it allows us to get things started off on the right foot. That is with potty training, with jumping, with nipping. A lot of times what happens, a dog's 8, 10, 12 weeks old, they get pulled out of their environment with their parents and the cohort of siblings, and they go into, you know, their forever home. And a lot of that includes kids, and a lot of that includes people with lives. And so what happens is, you know, the dog says, you can't do this, you can't do that, take your teeth off of this, we're trying to go through potty training. There's a lot of frustration right there, and it's a beautiful thing when pet parents realize that. They send us out to camp, send the dog out to Camp Pup, and it is exactly that. It's the beginning stages of what should be a proper routine and socialization for the dog. They can get around a cohort of like-minded puppies, so they can wrestle a lot, find out what is too much, what's not enough, get that awkward social aspect out of the way at an early age, which is very impressionable on the dog. And so then you get a dog that is potty trained, get a dog that started with treat training, started with leash training, very social to people, very social with other animals, and we're able to kind of knock out some of that nipping and chasing of the feet and jumping and kind of a little bit of a little terrorist puppy behavior, if you will. We can go ahead and get them started on the right track before, you know, you're pulling your hair out or your wife's telling you that you need to do something about that problem.
Yeah, or you could have one or the others like saying, you know, this puppy wasn't such a good idea. They can almost give up on the whole notion.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, things become frustrated quickly, especially if you have a busy life and you got a lot of moving parts, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I always overestimate my abilities, well, in a number of things. But when I got Chase, I was thinking, okay, now I know how to do this. I've brought up a couple dogs. I've made some mistakes, but I feel now I know how to do it. Of course, it had been years since I'd brought a new dog into the home when I brought Chase, and I thought I'd have all this time to get him out socializing with other dogs, humans. That's important too, socialization right. with people that aren't in their home,
right?
Or you'll have someone that's just barking at everybody and angry at the world. But socialization is so important, and I love how you kind of wrap that into these. Sean Sullivan here, he said, you know, there's a lot of great things that you can train dogs to do, but really what it comes down to, and you do a lot of that too, we'll get into that, but really what it comes down to is you want them to be able to listen to your commands for their safety, for your safety, for your own peace of mind, and that Camp Pup's a great way to get that started. This is what I need you to do, dog, and this is how you're going to do it, and this is how you'll be rewarded.
Yeah, and it is it's very fun for the pups. They really love it. But yeah, the best way to do it is to do it right the first time and start the dog off on the right foot as soon as you possibly can. I will say, you know, under 6 months old, the need is there, but a lot of people don't see it because they just say, hey, the puppy's going to grow out of it, or, you know, I'll have a little more time in a few months, and this goes and that goes, and you get the picture. But at the end of the day, when you got a big dog and he's large and in charge, at some point somebody's going to say, hey, we either need to get the dog trained or find some other ways to manage this or whatever the case is. And so before push comes to shove, it's like, hey, let's just get a little proactive on this.
Yeah, I love that idea. And so how long is the...
It's just 2 weeks, which for some people might seem like a long time, but it's really not. It's, you know, 14 days. It's a real drag race of energy. It comes and goes real quickly. But yeah, the dog grows up so much. You know, as a dog trainer, I'd love to say, you know, I can do anything and I'm great and this and that, but... Man, getting the dogs around other animals and people at such an early age is so beneficial. You don't really know how beneficial it is until you have a problem on your hands.
Uh-huh.
And everybody's kind of looking around and saying, hey, we have to get some help because this is getting a little sideways on us. And that's tough. That's a tough look for everybody.
I guess you could call some of the other we're talking with Dylan Waller with Waller Canine, wallercanine.com. Talk about some of the other things that are awesome. I've always been so jealous of guys and girls that are able to walk around with a dog, no leash, that stays at their heel. I've always thought that's one of the coolest things of all time. And, you have a couple other offerings here where you go above and beyond, where you start to you have a 1 month training and I believe a 2 month as well, where you just, I mean, you take that dog and push it to basically its limit, where it becomes a almost another human in the house with you.
Yeah. Yeah, you can kind of start to enjoy your life again. I will say that you know, training people's dogs comes with a lot of responsibility. We do build dogs up positively, first and foremost, but there is a portion of the training where it gets into some compliance and some expectation to perform, and putting a little bit of pressure on the dog, and you know, putting pressure on anybody or any animal is such a privilege, and we've just been so grateful that people have you know, seen where we started and where we're going, but just trust us to give us the opportunity to do right by them and their family and their dogs, because it is a privilege, and it's not to be taken lightly. So we do want the dogs to perform at a high level, but we kind of go through a building process and a mentoring process and then a compliance, and then we will start to put a little bit of pressure on the dog to perform once we know the expectation and the standard is built in.
That's great.
That's awesome.
And he loves what he does, by the way.
So yeah.
You can know that your dog's going to be taken well care of because he loves the dog and he loves the process. So mm-hmm. that's a good bit of it.
Yeah, it is. I follow you on Instagram, Waller Canine. There, you're putting videos up all the time of the training that's going on. If folks want to get in contact with you, I'm sure there's many of them interested out there. You do boarding as well, and they're so comfortable. I told you already, Chase just loves his time out there at Waller Canine. How can people get in touch with you and find out more information?
Yeah, so we have a website, which is wallercanine.com, and you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. But really, when it comes down to it, pick up the phone and you know, shoot us a line. And really, it comes down to asking questions and being comfortable with who you're dealing with. I would also say, you know, if you're going to get into the game of boarding or dog training from a consumer perspective, you know, talk to the people, go out, see their environment, ask them if, you know, you can see some training dogs or some personal dogs, because the proof is in the pudding. I can sit up here with you guys and talk all day long, but until you come out or see some, or, you know, pick up the phone, give me a shout, talk to me or whatever the case is, or come out and see some of the dogs, you know, and mm-hmm. if an outfit's not willing to show you what's under the hood, if you will, then, you know, you might want to look somewhere else, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't trust them with my dog if you never got a chance to,
and just to
see
the
operation.
See the spirit of the dog, too. A lot of times it could be a great, you know, it looks great and this and that, but you need to look and watch the dogs and how they perform with the handlers and how they perform in the environment that you're sending them to, because a lot of the times, you know, that's what you need to feel comfortable when you have, you know, a loved one like a companion animal or a pet, part of the family, send it out to do some good and to, you know, make some headway in the training space or whatever the case is.
Thanks for coming in, Dylan. As always, your expertise and your love of the canines, greatly appreciated, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for having me. And, if anybody's hearing me out there and needs some help with the dog, please reach out. Feel free to give us a call.
If I left the radio on at home, Chase is probably losing his mind right now, by the way. Is that Dylan?
It is 8:53, Dan and Dalton. Hope you a morning.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect partly cloudy to mostly cloudy skies today with showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures this afternoon will be in the upper 80s. Tonight, a few evening showers and thunderstorms, lows in the lower 70s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with just a few afternoon showers and thunderstorms. It will be warmer with highs in the lower 90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
Hello, I'm Scott Armstrong with Kimco Metal Buildings. If you want a sustainable and cost-effective solution for your building needs, we've got you covered. Kimco has been designing and constructing commercial-quality steel buildings since 1965. We will meet or exceed high wind load structural requirements and help with the building process from planning to completion. We're located in Daphne. Check out our website at kimcobuildings.com or call us at 626-0594. That's K-E-M-K-O.
Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a couple of old Marines giving a little weekday R&R refuge to stimulate your senses.
People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
The Scuttlebutt Network radio program, every Wednesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. on FM Talk 106.5. Your voice of the veterans for the veterans. Tune in, sound off, and sound off like you got a pair. Hoorah!
From the rollcallbill.com traffic center, just wrapping up wrecks at Springle Avenue in the West, I-65 Service Road and Airport Boulevard and Airport Service Road blocking the turn lane. Again, we look good from Tillman's Corner and Theodore along Highway 90 from Rangeline Road and traveling downtown across the Bayway. Bill Island personal injury lawyers are lawyers you can count on for your case, from car, motorcycle, and truck accidents to slip and falls, animal bites, and wrongful death. For free consultation, go to rollcallbill.com and call 251-255-5000. And I'm Kane with the Dog 106.5 traffic.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:55 after our show. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
It sure is. And in hour number one, Jeff will have columnist Paul DeMarco on with him. Hour two, can't wait for this man's take. You know who I'm going to say, Dan?
Parker Griffith.
That's right. Former Congressman Parker Griffith on with Jeff. And then in hour three, ALGOP Chairman, for now, John Wall, as he explores running for office and dropping that title in the meantime.
Oh, yeah. What is he looking at running for?
I believe...
Attorney General?
Was it Secretary... Oh, man. The Secretary of State? Governor? No, Lieutenant Governor,
Lieutenant Governor,
right. Texter here. Oh, man, we could talk about dogs all day. I preach. I agree. It deserves its place in talk radio for sure. This is Jeff from Fairhope. I have a Boston Terrier, weighs 38 pounds.
Ooh.
He is very... 38? He's very food-driven, very easily trained with just a few treats as far as the jumping and getting excited following every round. I got a training collar, set it on the low setting, and a few treats he's trained. You don't jump on people anymore. Jeff, I'm worried he can't jump on people anymore at 38 pounds. Now, there's some big-frame Boston Terriers out there.
Well, that's a big one, though.
It is. Michael says, bad wreck, Spring Hill eastbound just before 65. And then a lot of texts with Quinn as well. Quinn speaks from a slow-moving government perspective that gets bound up and never gets anything done. Trump, on the other hand, is a doer and knows he has limited time to move, hence the big, beautiful bill. And another texter, we removed the filibuster on judicial nominees. We need to do the same on appropriations bills. That's Cato of the Causeway, who said, to Dalton's point, Quinn lives in a fantasy world. The big, beautiful bill is the 12 separate appropriations bills rolled into an omnibus. The Republican whip knows the vote counts, and they know they only have one shot.
Trump's actions can also occasionally be chaotic and confusing. I mean, we can all agree to that.
What? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just joking. Yeah, that's obvious.
It's like, you know, the tariffs and all. Oh, by the way, I got some information about day one of the Amtrak.
All right.
It looks like it's August the 18th. And they're going to have a special $15 one-way deal.
Mm.
Now, when you get to New Orleans, yeah. I hope it's $15 back.
Yeah. It'll be $100 back. No, I don't know. I'm sure it'll be $15 back as
okay.
well. So mid-August is when they're going to get yep. that thing cranked up. Did you see, Dan, if you haven't seen it, I have to share the video with you. And I know a lot of dads and moms out there thinking about, what would I do? A dad jumped off a Disney cruise.
I did see that. That was near Fort Lauderdale. It was coming back. It was coming back to
from the Bahamas
after vacation. Little girl fell off, which I don't know. I don't know that they figured out how that happened.
Yeah,
and the dad just dives off and treads water until they can go out there and save the both of them.
20 minutes of treading water with a child in your arms,
man.
Now, I wish I could remember how long the Navy SEALs have to tread water in their training class, but 20 minutes in the big blue ocean and that cruise ship is just streamlining ahead. And they had to bring that rescue boat back. And I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen or heard of a more impressive act. That is
no.
And that's just what you do. I mean, you got to give it the effort.
I mean, it was his daughter.
Yeah.
He didn't jump in because the little girl fell in. He jumped in because his little girl fell
in.
Yeah,
I bet he didn't think twice.
Well, no. Amazing amazing heroism and amazing endurance, for
mm-hmm.
sure. His 859, he's not a 38-pound
Boston dog.
8:59 now, and Jeff Poor's on the way next.